Whoa. Who is John Kerry really working for? Iran or us? That's the question I'm asking today. Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Trish Intel Show. I am Trish Regan, and we got a report first out of the New York Times from some leaked tapes, some leaked audio tapes in which Javad Zarif, who's the foreign minister of Iran, is revealing his relationship, what it was with Soleimani, the military head that the U.S. made sure under the Trump administration was no longer a problem, shall we say. Anyway, he's saying effectively in these leaked audio tapes that he had this sometimes challenging relationship. That's not news. I mean, it's a big deal, right? Because, you know, is one member of the administration effectively trashing another, whatever. But it's not news. I mean, anybody who's been around this story knows that the people in charge did not like the Ayatollah so much and didn't like the Iran Revolutionary Guards. And there were these tensions. But what's news is what John Kerry did. John Kerry told Zarif about roughly 200 attacks on Iranian forces in Syria that came via Israel. Quote, it was former U.S. Foreign Secretary John Kerry who told me Israel had launched more than 200 attacks on Iranian forces in Syria. Come on. You know, look, I realize that John Kerry is really bummed out that his deal didn't quite work out the way he wanted. Right? I know he had big aspirations for Iran and for a whole realignment of the Middle East. But, you know, Israel is still there. And Israel will be there for many, 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 many years to come. And if Iran doesn't recognize that, if Iran does not fall in line, then there really is no hope for the region. And this has been the policy, frankly, of the conservatives, right, who have recognized the importance of Israel in terms of keeping and maintaining stability in that region. We need Israel. We need Israel there. And so Iran doesn't like it. And John Kerry doesn't like it. I wonder why. I mean, just ask yourself why. What is it about Iran that John Kerry finds himself so drawn to? Israel is our ally. Israel is the country that we can look to help keep things under control there. It's not Iran. It will never be Iran. And I gotta say, I'm really uncomfortable with the idea that someone who's the former Secretary of State is effectively ratting out Israel, right? Our ally. Talking to our enemy about our ally and things that our ally has done. It is just not right. Coming up, it's a kind of reverse racism, and it might just be unconstitutional. We're on it.
To announce our lawsuit against the Biden administration over the American Rescue Act, where they award farm aid for farmers who've been hurt by this pandemic based on skin color. That is fundamentally un-American. Look, millions of people were hurt by this pandemic. Millions of people were hurt as a result of the closures, the shutdowns, the disruptions to our lives. And when it comes to getting financial aid, it shouldn't matter what race or ethnicity you are. You can't make a more equal country. You can't make a more unified country if we split and divide based on race.
That's Stephen Miller, senior advisor to President Trump, former President Trump, now founder of the America First Legal Action Fund. They have just filed a lawsuit against the Biden administration for illegally excluding Americans from receiving farm aid based upon their race. The America First legal organization believes, he says, in equal rights, dignity and treatment under law, embraces, Stephen Miller says, the eternal vision of MLK. And he wants to know why somebody gets preferential treatment from the government because of the color of their skin. I think he's got something here. I mean, I questioned it the other day when we were talking about the amount of money that Berkeley wants to give out to people who are, you've got to be non-English speaking. You've got to be an illegal migrant. You've got to be African-American. They have this whole list of requirements that make it okay for you to get a cash payout from the city of Berkeley. But if you're white, forget about it. Doesn't matter how poor you are. Doesn't matter how disadvantaged you are. They don't see you as ever being disadvantaged because of the color of your skin. How is this American when we view people through the lens of color as opposed to who they are and what they can contribute? Anyway, so Stephen Miller's filing suit. He's got this America First legal group now, and apparently they're just getting started because there's a lot that one could go after the Biden administration for. But I think that there is something here because this probably is quite unconstitutional. We've been talking about lots of local cases like this. I mentioned Berkeley. Also, there's another one to tell you about in Rhode Island. You've got the Rhode Island Foundation that's paying $25,000 of student loans off for teachers. The only catch is you have to be a teacher of color. Okay, and white doesn't count. All right. I mean, this is bonkers. They've raised $3.1 million. They're very proud of that. It's the Rhode Island Foundation. $3.1 million to increase the number of teachers of color in Providence public schools. Students of color, they actually represent 80% of enrollment in the district, while just 20% of the teachers are members of minority groups. So that's noble. They want to see more diversity amongst the teachers' ranks. But the funding is going to be used to offer candidates a college loan repayment incentive totaling up to $25,000 over their first 3 years of employment. And the incentive will be in addition to the standard compensation package that the Providence Public School District is offering all teachers. You see, where this starts to get really murky is where you have this overlap, right, of what the public sector is doing, along with maybe some generous donors that want to see more diversity amongst the teacher ranks. That's great. You know what? That's great. The problem is once it starts to prefer one group over another, I mean, heck, you got people going on and on and on about the transgender thing, right? Oh, well, we want to be able to compete in women's sports, in girls' athletics, even if we're naturally born men. Well, guys, you can't have it both ways, okay? Like, you know, that is a kind of preference, is it not? If a community is going to say, oh, it's discriminatory not to have this transgender running on the girls' track team, then isn't it also discriminatory to say we're only going to give out money to people based on the color of their skin? Listen, I say this all the time. America is not a racist place. Sure, there's pockets of racism, you know, anywhere, right? And you're going to run into that anywhere. But as a whole, we're just not. I mean, Kamala Harris is our vice president. We elected Barack Obama twice, unfortunately, twice. And that's because of his lousy economic policy. I say, unfortunately, really lousy. And we're getting a repetition of it right now. Anyway, the fact that he was elected twice, America still is a land of opportunity. And there are many people that can do many, many great things. It's not because of the color of your skin that you may be held back. You may just be held back because you live in a lousy area with lousy, lousy politicians that make lousy decisions. And so there's a socioeconomic consequence that is quite real. And it's time we start holding these lawmakers in these lousy communities with lousy policies accountable. I mean, the fact that Chicago kids can't go back to school, yet the rest of the country can, what's that about? That's about a teachers union and politicians that are too afraid to say boo. Up next, the New York City Police Department is seeing a 75% increase in the number of departures and retirements. I'm surprised it's not more. You know, if I were a police officer, I'd be looking for a new line of work. I mean, that's just the reality. You're out there risking your life, and you're damned if you do, you're damned if you don't. I mean, the poor police officer in Columbus who saved a woman's life. Nobody wants to talk about that. They only want to talk about the stabbing of the 16-year-old who was lunging at someone with a knife. So that police officer saves a life, and yet they're ready to torch him. LeBron James tweeting out what he tweeted with a picture of an officer that was on the scene saying, "You're next." He took the tweet down, but it doesn't excuse the fact that he tweeted it in the first place. There is a real price to be paid right now for being a police officer in America, and it's not right. Police officers don't make a ton of money. They're risking their lives. And By the way, for what? For what? So that a community can come after you? For a community to say, how dare you try and protect yourself or somebody else on the street? For a community to go nuts? For Joy Reid on MSNBC to attack you like she attacked the officer in Chicago who shot a 13-year-old boy. Okay, the 13-year-old boy out at 2:38 in the morning firing at cars. What if that officer just happened to save the life of an innocent person that was getting fired at by this kid who had been missing, by the way, for 2 days and was part of a gang? Nobody thinks about the other side on this. It doesn't fit their narrative. They have a narrative that police are bad. If you're a police officer who's just going to work every day, risking your life to try and keep your community safe, one, thank you. Thank you. It's not said enough. We are so lucky to have such noble people that will risk their lives and will do what they can to keep our communities safe. So thank you. They don't deserve this. They don't deserve this. So what do you see in New York City? A 75% increase in departures and retirements. Approximately 2,600 officers departed, while another 2,746 filed for retirement as anti-police sentiment continued to intensify all over the country. More than 5,300 New York City Police Department officers have retired or submitted paperwork to leave the force within 2020. This is a 75% increase from the previous year, according to department data. Come on. You know, guys, we need the police. Can someone get that through to Rashida Tlaib, who's out there tweeting no police, no incarceration? She doesn't think anybody should go to jail for doing anything wrong. Come on. No militarization. What, we don't need a military now? You want no law and order? You want complete lawlessness? You're going to resort to some kind of tribal-like state? That's where we're heading. Think Chaz. That went over real well. All right, coming up, why Hollywood is really done. Things aren't going so well in California now, are they? Gavin Newsom officially facing a recall, as he should, because he was a complete disaster in that state. Such a hypocrite. And to think that Florida somehow managed to stay open. Disney World in Orlando, Florida stayed open while Disneyland closed. I think that's the best example of how badly he managed everything. But I wanted to get to this because ratings for the Oscars plummeted nearly 60%. First time below 10 million viewers. I am not surprised at all because nobody can stand these people, right? Here we go. In delayed fast national results just released by Nielsen, the 93rd Academy Awards were watched by a mere 9.85 million with a dismal rating of 1.9 among the 18 to 49 demographic, according to the quite left of center Deadline Hollywood publication. I mean, that's pretty bad. It's pretty bad. But, you know, and even for comparison's sake, 3 years ago, it was like 30 million. It dropped below 30 million and everybody was freaking out because it dropped below 30 million. Well, now it's dropping below 10 million. And clearly, I think people are voting with their feet here. Nobody wants to watch this dribble, right? Like, it's the same reason you see the NBA suffering in ratings. In other words, people get inundated by politics. And you know what? If you like politics, maybe you're listening to this show and you're listening to some others where you can get that kind of feel and flavor and you expect that, right? But do you really expect it when you're tuning in to see an award show? Do you expect to see it from Hollywood actors? I was watching a film. This actor will remain nameless, but it was an actor I had actually liked until he became far more outspoken politically. And so I go to watch this film and I'm like, I can't even like look at his face. Like I don't see him as the character anymore. I only see them or him as a caricature, right? And so they no longer can personify the role that they're taking on in a film. Instead, they personify this sort of, you know, very negative political presence. And I don't care if you're right or left, you're not going to like someone that's an actor out there giving you a bunch of political garbage. And so it's reflected in these ratings. And I think you're going to see more and more of that. And I think you might see Gavin Newsom have a real run for his money. All those Hollywood stars that he's real friendly with, I don't know if they're going to be able to help him much. They need to focus on themselves and those ratings. Okay, make sure that you go to trishintel.com. Make sure you go to my private group, by the way, on Facebook. We're talking a lot of market stuff these days because you want to be invested in the market. And I have a lot of good ideas for you. And I want to see you make some money because you deserve it, right? Remember, freedom and money, they go hand in hand. Money is freedom. So go to the Facebook private page. Make sure you go to Trish Intel for all your news. And by the way, you got to check out my video show. Brand new video show. You can see it on Rumble. You can see it right here on TrishIntel.com as well. And we'll chat tomorrow.